The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hello, this is one of the episodes that I pre-recorded for my maternity leave. So this was recorded around November, end of 2023. Love you. Hello, you guys. Welcome back to Circle Time. How are we doing? I hope you're all doing well. I am so excited. We're doing one of my favorite things. One of my favorite things to do is hear your beautiful voices. Hear the voices of my sweet circlers. It brings me so much joy. And so we're doing a story time episode. And I can't wait. I just reminded everyone of the voicemail. And so I feel like on our Instagram, if you don't follow it, at Circle Time Pod, but I feel like we've got some fresh voicemails to work with. So I'm excited about this. And Marsh is here. He's got the voicemails ready to go. And we're going to get into it. So let's do it, Marsh. Let's freaking hear some voicemails.
It's Wednesday.
We're listening to voicemails. Everything is so wonderful. I was just telling Marshall I'm so unbelievably tired. But the minute I know that it's just me and my sweet circlers and Marsh, I just feel so happy. So I'm happy. Let's do it.
Hi, Kelsey. This is Eden. Congrats to you and Cody on the baby. I was wondering if today you would be willing to share when you knew that you were ready to step into motherhood and how that feeling was different from wanting to just have a baby and, you know, the kind of difference in transition on that. All right. Thank you.
That's a fun question. So I feel like it's one of those things where it's like you're never going to be fully like 100% ready and not scared. Like, I think it's always just going to be a little bit scary to open that door to like potentially getting pregnant and having a baby, because it's a scary thing. Like, it's one of those things where it's just like, maybe this is just me. Maybe other people have different experiences, but like, I don't know. It's just like, it was still scary, but like I knew that it was time. And I feel like when we were planning our wedding, it was like, I knew I wanted babies quickly after, and I felt ready. And I feel like it's like, I knew my relationship was at a really solid point. Cody and I had been together for a long time. We had worked through communicating, like how to communicate with each other and what works for us as a couple. And we are in such a strong place that like, I knew that we could be ready to tackle this together, and that we would be bringing a child home to like a loving household, and that we knew we were on the same page with how we wanted to raise a kid. And so like, I feel like we were ready, like in our relationship, to make the decision to like start trying to have kids. And I also was happy where I was with my career. And I felt like my sense of self had grown into like a new version of itself. Like I just have, I just felt ready, like in all aspects of things. And I knew it was time to start trying. I don't know. It's hard to say because it's always going to be a little bit scary, but I just felt like when I thought about how, like who I wanted to bring a child home to and like the environment that I wanted to bring a child home to, I felt like those things had kind of been sorted out to the best that I could. And so I felt ready to start trying. So yeah, but that's not to say it's not scary. Like, I don't think there's ever like a time where you're just like, okay, cool. No, it's actually going to be totally fine. And I'm ready and I'm 100% ready and I'm not scared at all, because it's always going to be a little scary, but that's okay. That's life, you know? Did that make sense at all?
I think so.
Okay. Marsh thinks that made sense. Yeah. And so therefore I think that made sense.
From Keely.
Keely just called in last time. Well, we'll see. Maybe it's the same.
Hey, Kelsey, I would just like to know if you have any like self-care tips, like what products do you use on like your face or your favorite shower products and stuff like that. Also, I wish you the very best.
I think that was the same Keely as last time. So hi again. Lucky you. You have our mouse is a magnetic to your name. My favorite like skincare, is that self-care stuff? Is that the question?
Oh, self-care.
Okay. Well, I think, oh God, I'm like, when was the last time I like did self-care? obviously my eye brightening stick from Thrive Cosmetics, but I'm like, I'm genuinely, it's like kind of sad. I'm like, when was the last time I had like a self-care day? When was the last time I took care of myself? You know, Keely, Marshall, why can't I answer this question? I can tell you what I use on my skin.
Yeah, like, do you have a favorite chapstick or like?
Okay, you know, I have been really into my Laneige lip mask lately, and I know that is like such a common answer. I feel like that is something everybody talks about, but I will say, I used to use it when like it first. I used to use it in like 2019 and I really didn't like it, to be honest. But I needed a chapstick because my lips have been getting really chapped and I needed like something thicker. And I was like, I'm going to try this again. And now I love it. So maybe they like changed the formula or something, but I've actually been really loving that again. I also have been using Jack Black, not the guy who's in School of Rock, but a different man. I don't think he makes skincare products or like lip care products, but there's a brand called Jack Black and it's like a just like a chapstick that has SPF in it that I also really like. I also have been just loving my Paula's Choice exfoliator. I use that on my skin. I had to change from my salicylic acid to something else when I got pregnant. And now I use like the pore reducing toner, maybe something like that. It's in a blue bottle, Paula's Choice. And I've been loving that. So I would say definitely that. And this lotion, actually, there's a really good lotion. The brand is OSEA is the brand. And there's like a lotion and we put it in our like welcome boxes at our wedding and they gave us like a bunch of lotion and they were like, if you want to use these for your wedding welcome boxes, you can, which was so kind. And so we did. And that is truly the thing I got the most texts about after our wedding was like, this is the best lotion I've ever used. And now I'm forgetting what this lotion is called, but that's the brand. Can I look it up really quick? Okay, let's see. It is called the anti-aging body balm. And it's at first you're like, is this like a little bit slimy? Like it feels like kind of like, you know, when lotion doesn't dry properly and it feels like you have lotion on all the time. at first you're going to think that's the case, but then it dries, it soaks into your skin and it makes you feel amazing. So highly recommend that. And those are my top choices right now for you off the top of my head. That's stuff I've been just absolutely loving when I decide to do self-care, which obviously I should do more often considering the fact that this question sent me into a complete tizzy. So I'll work on that. Thank you, Keely, for the question. Now I'm going to go home and take care of myself, lather up an anti-aging balm. Okay, I feel like many people can agree with me that one of the most annoying parts of growing up and becoming an adult is when you have to book all of your own doctor's appointments. I do not like doing it, and now I have to do it for like another human because I'm a mom. But when you first enter adulthood and you realize that you can't count on your parents to find you a doctor or line up your appointment, it's really rough. It really is, and it is a sad wake-up call. But so when I moved out of my parents' house, I would just ask everyone I know for recommendations. And then I would end up calling this doctor's office and they would have like a huge wait list or they wouldn't take my insurance, whatever it was. It just like never worked out. So then I'd end up Googling my symptoms, right? Or going on TikTok and finding something, trusting these random quote health experts on TikTok. And then I just like would completely go down this spiral. All that being said, then I found ZocDoc, and ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. So we are talking about booking appointments with thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, ones who are located near you, and treat almost any condition that you're searching for. And it's all just right on the app. The average wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between 24 to 48 hours. I've even gotten a same day appointment before. And now there's no more anxiously calling a bunch of doctor's office, talking to the receptionists and just getting stressed out. You book right there in the app with just a few taps. All the reviews are patient verified so you can get a real sense of if it would be a good fit for you before booking. ZocDoc has saved me so much time, so much anxiety, and I know that all you circlers would love it. So go to ZocDoc.com/CircleTime and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/CircleTime. ZocDoc.com/CircleTime.
Gigi came in 2 minutes ago.
Ooh, I love that name. Do you think it's Gigi Hadid?
Hey, Kelsey. I'm a senior in high school. This is my last year of high school, and I'm starting to apply to colleges. And I'm just really nervous of leaving childhood, of leaving high school. And I was wondering if you could tell me your experience. What was your freshman year of college? If you stayed at home, if you moved, if you were like a commuter, and how it was, and just some advice of how to adjust to that change. Thanks. I love the pod.
This is an exciting time. And I feel like it's like, it feels like your life is like completely changing. And like, it's just such a time of transition. My experience, I went to a university that was like in, like by my parents' house. It's like a state school. And I was a commuter my freshman year. And so I just remember my like first day of school, I drove, I parked, and then I was like, I just remember having so much like freedom. Like, it's like, you can go to class. You don't have to go to class. Like, show up right before, I don't know. There's no like bells, you know, like, you know, in high school, it's like the first bell and then the second bell, and you have to be in class by the second bell. And then like, you can't just not go to class. Like, if you don't go to class, your parents get whatever. But like in college, all of a sudden it was like, doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. And I just remember like sitting there and being like, I'm lost and I'm scared and I'm alone and I don't know anyone. And I was terrified. I really was. I so vividly remember just exactly where I was sitting on campus and how scared I was. But I feel like I like my relationship with myself and like knowing that like I have my own back really came to fruition in like my freshman year of college, because I was figuring so many things out and I was alone a lot of the time. I was commuting and I hadn't yet joined my sorority. I joined my sorority my sophomore year of college. So like I met some people in my classes, but I wasn't like making like a lot of connections and stuff. And I do wish that I had put myself out there sooner. So if there's one piece of advice I can give you is like join a club, especially if you're commuting. I don't know exactly what your situation is, but if you're commuting, like join clubs and try to meet people in any way that you can, and don't like shy away from like exploring your campus and like getting to know the school and like going to certain events and stuff just because you're alone. Cause I think like being alone in those situations really is when you do like so much personal growth. So it's definitely scary, but like it is kind of like you have so much more life to live, and you're going to see that your life is not over just because high school is over. It's just a new chapter, and you have so much more life to live. And so you might as well grab it by the frickin' balls and live it. And don't be scared. I was a little bit too scared at the beginning, but that's okay. You know, you also have to like wait until you're fully comfortable, or else you'll be even more upset, I think, sometimes. But I think it would have been good for me to just like kind of put myself out there a little bit more. And you're going to be totally fine. It's okay if you're alone. It's okay if you're scared, because you will do a lot of personal growth then. But also like put yourself in situations where you have the chance to meet people and connect with people and like embrace your new school and your new campus and all of that. It's going to be great. I'm excited for you. I ended up loving college, so you will too.
Bella.
Ooh, pretty.
Hi, Kelsey. So I need some advice on a boy situation.
Ooh.
I dated one boy 3 times over the last 5 to 6 years. We first dated at 15, 16-ish. Then we dated again 17, 18. And then we dated the last time after our freshman year of college. I'm now a junior.
Okay.
He wasn't ever very nice to me. He was, you know, very verbally abusive. He cheated. He was awful.
Ugh.
Turns out he's bi and he's now dating a man.
Okay.
And I'm happy for him that he's accepted who he is and he's exploring that.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is I can't seem to let go all of my past with him in a way. I can't seem to let it all go and just move on completely. It's been almost 2 years since we last dated, but I can't seem to forget him and be able to fall in love with other people. And I don't know why, because he was so awful to me. And I don't miss being with him, but I miss the feeling of being young and in love. And I just haven't experienced that with anyone else. So I was wondering if you have any advice on how to let go of people who hurt you when you just, for some reason, can't seem to.
Damn. That's a good question. And I'm sorry that you had to be like someone else's punching bag while they figured out who they were, because I just think that that's so unfair and it happens so often, and it's just unfair to you that you had to be put through that. But I'm happy you came out the other side. Look at you. It's been 2 years. That's like you. That is so much time that's gone by that like you have gotten to not like it's that's a long time that you've gotten to be away from that. And I'm proud of you for getting through that. I think, first of all, it's hard when that's like the last kind of relationship you've been in, because you have nothing else to think about when you think about wanting to be in love. Like, that's the last example of love that you have in like a romantic relationship. And so I feel like it's easy to kind of think about that and think about the time that you spent with that person, and maybe think about like, you know, they didn't treat you right, but then you're kind of only thinking about the good stuff at the same time, and the being in love part, and not the part where they were kind of terrible. And it's so much easier to think about that stuff than the bad stuff. But also I think that like sometimes when clearly this person like needed to figure out some things about themselves, that and you unfortunately like took the brunt of that, and so you almost feel like, well, they were figuring stuff out and they didn't, like, you're trying to like make excuses as to why they treated you the way that they did, when really like they were just not kind to you and they did not treat you well, and it simply just boils down to that, and you know you're better off without them. And I think that as time goes on, you will find other relationships and you'll see other examples of love and what love should actually feel like. And you'll realize that what you were feeling with that person might not have even been true love. And I just think like right now it might be hard because you haven't had a relationship since. So you're trying to like hold on to the good parts of that one to remember what it felt like to be in love. But why don't you just take the time right now to focus on like the love you have for yourself and love for your friends and your family or whoever it is that you are surrounded with. And because even if it's just you, like you still have yourself and you can still harness that love and make that relationship really flourish. And so I feel like focusing on that kind of stuff is where so much growth comes from. And then you'll be able to find that romantic connection in a much healthier way once you realize that like that's not the only relationship and the only example of love that's in your life. There are so many others around you all the time. So focus on those and you'll just keep growing further and further away from that past and making new experiences and new ideas of love, and you'll continue to grow in a more positive way. But it's tricky. I understand. I'm sorry you had to go through that. Hinge is a dating app designed to be deleted. Why is that, you ask? Hinge gives you a sense of someone's personality and lets you share your own. So you get to know potential dates through their unique answers to prompts, plus get a sense of someone's dating intentions and what they're looking for. I have so many people that I know in my life who have met their significant other on Hinge. My cousin, for example, shout out, met her now husband. They just got married in December on Hinge, and they are truly so happy, so in love. And it's all thanks to Hinge initially. Their answers, you know, they did their prompts and they had their photos and they got to see that they had a similar sense of humor and they had common interests before they even went on their first date. Because they met on Hinge, they both knew they were looking for a fulfilling relationship, and the rest is history. I know when it comes to dating, it can be tough to put yourself out there and know where to start, or like just, you know, you're on this app and you don't know if someone's going to laugh at the same things as you, or you don't know if someone wants the same things as you. And Hinge just makes that all very clear. And that is why I'm so excited that they're our sponsor. As you all know, I'm a married woman, but if I were single today, Hinge would be the app for me. It really would, because I love helping my friends update their profiles with different prompts and new pictures. And I just hear amazing things from friends that it is the app to use if you're trying to date intentionally. Hinge is the perfect dating app if you're ready to put your best foot forward, go beyond the surface, and express your personality and meet people who are on the same page. On Hinge, there are no rules, timers, or games. If you're feeling inspired, give Hinge a try. Download Hinge today and find someone worth deleting the app for. Hannah?
Hi, Kelsey. This is Hannah. I absolutely love listening to your podcasts and watching your vlogs, and I'm so excited for this next amazing journey you're gonna have and being a mom. So I'm really excited to hear what the podcasts are gonna be like then. But I think my question is, I am 22 and I feel like in the world of finances, I'm just so behind. I don't understand like anything. I don't have a credit card yet, and I just feel behind. So I'm just wondering, like, what's your advice on getting started and understanding finances and trying to better your 20s financially? Thank you.
Hannah, that is a really good question. And first of all, I think it's easy to compare yourself to other people and think that you're completely behind, but you are only 22. You are not behind. There's no such thing as behind. There's really not. Like, you can start this journey whenever. I am 30 and there are a lot of times when I still am like, I have no idea what this person is talking about. I don't know what anything means and I feel confused. So you are not alone. 100% you're not alone. My best advice is that I am not like a professional, but we did have a financial expert on the podcast, Nicole Lappin. And so I would go listen to that episode and maybe you'll get some more clarity as to where to begin and all of that, because we talk about all of that in that episode and she explains things a lot more eloquently than I can, because I also don't really know a lot of things when it comes to finances. So don't beat yourself up. you're not alone, but do go listen to that episode because it's very helpful. So that's my piece of advice for that.
Hi, Kelsey. Big fan of the pod, by the way.
Thank
you. Just want to start off by saying that. I've currently been talking to this guy for a few weeks now. I met him at a party about like a month ago. Really sweet, really nice guy. We kissed. That was pretty much all. He asked for my number. He gave me his jacket, whatever. He gave me a ride to where we were going after the party.
I feel like I'm there.
I went to go visit him last week.
Okay.
However, I'm finding it very hard to read him. I do have very bad commitment issues, and so does he, but I would really like for this to work out. The only problem is he lives 3 hours away.
Mm.
And I don't really know what to do about that. So do you think that this is just a lost cause? We do talk every day, mostly, but he's just really hard to read, and I don't know what to do. I don't want to stand around waiting, and I don't also want to seem crazy attached. But I feel like this could be something good if we allowed it to, but I don't know where it's going. So let me know what you think. Mm-hmm. Love you so much. Take care on your maternity leave. Love you.
Love you. Listen, I don't think this is a lost cause necessarily. Like, if you think this could be something good and you're into it and, like, you want to explore this, I don't just, like, give up because of, like, I think that there's no point in not trying if you feel those things. I think that, like, literally the only thing you can do is talk to the person about it because you don't know, like, what he's feeling and you're going to spend a lot of your time wondering what's going on, kind of like what you're doing right now, instead of just like getting to the point. And if you ask him and he's like, you're a psycho, like, okay, then he's clearly not like emotionally ready to be like, he's clearly not emotionally ready to have something with someone. So like, then that's a question answered for you. Like, anyway, I just think you need to just talk to him. And tell him, like, I feel like this could be something. I know we both have some, like, attachment stuff going on, but I think this could be something. Sorry, I almost threw up. I enjoy hanging out with you. I think you enjoy hanging out with me. What do you think? Should we try it? Should we try and, like, make it work? I'm not saying, like, you need to get married to me. I'm not saying that anything. I'm just wondering, like, if you also want to try to make this work and see where this could go, see where it could lead. You're not asking him to be your boyfriend. You're not asking him to, like, go steady. You're not asking him to marry you, but, like, you just want to see if he's on the same page as you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If he handles that poorly, that's an answer in and of itself. But there's, like, the only way you can get the answers you need is by actually having the conversation. So, like, fuck it. Have the conversation. There's no rule as to when this conversation should be had, whatever it is. I say just ask him the questions that you're wondering and make it seem super chill. You're chill. You're chill. You're just curious, like, if he's on the same page as you, because this could be fun. So should we have some fun? You know, it's going to be totally fine. Either way, it's going to be fine. You're going to get the answers. And that's all you can get at this point is the answers that you deserve. So just have a casual, chill conversation about it and see how he reacts to that.
Hi, Kelsey. My name's Izzy. I love the podcast so much. Been here since day one.
Aww.
I love the circlers.
I love you.
I was just wondering how you feel about acquaintances or like people that you're not very close to, like coworkers or something, touching your pregnant belly. Like, without consent, because I was talking to my friend about it, and I don't know, I think that's weird. If someone tried to touch my pregnant belly and I don't know you that well, I think it would freak me out. But yeah, I was just wondering your thoughts on people touching your pregnant belly. Bye, love you.
Okay, good question. Listen, I don't really mind if someone like, if someone asks, if someone's like, can I touch? I will, the answer like 9 times out of 10 is yes. I've never once said no to someone. Sometimes if people are like, oh, they just kind of like go for it. It kind of takes me aback for a second just because I'm like, it's just someone's like coming for you a little bit, you know, it's a little scary. And it's like part of my body still, you know, it's like attached. It's still my body. So it's kind of weird, but usually it's fine. And also, like, I haven't had too many, like, random people do it. And I also, it also totally depends on the situation. If I am like at a wedding or something and I know the people around me are drinking, I've realized then they're a lot more willing to come over and just kind of like rub the belly. But I'm like, they're drunk. You know what I mean? Like, they don't know what they're doing. And I also know them. Like, it's never been someone I don't know. I don't mind. Something that I do feel bad about is like, if I'm with a guy, if I'm with a couple and the girl's like touching the belly and then she's like, blah, 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 come touch her belly. Come touch her belly. Like, they're like trying to like force their like boyfriend to touch my belly. And I'm like, he clearly doesn't want to. And he's like, she's busy. And I'm like, you don't have to touch my belly. It's like, oh, that's always awkward when someone else is telling someone else to touch the belly. Then I'm like, it's okay. Just let them make up their own mind about that. I guess it's kind of weird, but not if someone asks. And usually if it's someone I slightly know, I'm like, yeah, touch the belly. You know, why not? He's chilling and he moves a lot. So sometimes he like someone will touch it and he'll go like that and give him a little scare. So I kind of like these little prankster already, you know? But I would say, like, if anyone out there wants to ever touch someone's pregnant belly, just ask them before you do. It's like a common courtesy, you know? Okay, with life being just so insane right now and so busy and me never knowing what the next moment is going to look like, I really am just trying to save time where I can. And you all know that I love clothes and fashion and just like get so much joy out of picking out like outfits and all of that. But sometimes it can just like take up a lot of time and a lot of thoughts that I don't really have anymore. So I decided that I wanted to grow my closet to have like high quality staple pieces that I love, that I can easily accessorize, that I can like switch up, interchange very easily. And Quince has been such a help with this. Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices within reach. So there's like washable silk tops and dresses. There's organic cotton sweaters. There's 14 karat gold jewelry. There's even the 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters. And those are only $50. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories and cut out the cost of the middleman, passing the savings along to us. Isn't that just like amazing? My favorite article of clothing I own is this super soft cashmere cardigan. Couldn't think of the word there. And I literally wear it all the time. I got it when I was pregnant and now I wear it when I'm not pregnant. And it's just the absolute best. It's one of those sweaters that somehow just like looks good with every single pair of pants I own. And it's cozy and I just love it. There's also this oversized leather jacket that I got from Quince. I was looking everywhere for just like a staple leather jacket and they were all so expensive, like around $1,000. And my Quince jacket was just a fraction of the cost and everything that I wanted more. And its stuff is like high quality. Like it feels like it's really expensive, but it's really not. It's just the best. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/circletime for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/circletime to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/circletime.
Anonymous.
Here we go.
Hey, Kelsey. My name's Olivia. I am a huge fan of you, your podcasts, and your family. And your growing family. Anyways, something that I could use some advice on is spending too much time on my phone. Oof. I feel like especially with daylight savings, it gets dark and after work it's dark and it's so easy just to stare at a screen all day at work and then lay in my bed because it's dark and stare at my phone for another however many hours before I go to bed.
Totally.
And I can definitely feel like making me more anxious and stuff. So if you have any advice on how to kind of set boundaries with yourself for social media, I could definitely use it. Thank you.
Oh boy, that is a good question because I find myself scrolling mindlessly a lot. So like you're definitely not alone in that. You know what took me away from my phone that I just loved? Legos. Legos. Who knew? Like adult Legos are so fun. I enjoy them at least. But that was like finding something like that, that like it's not like 100% mindless, but like it's just something that's not a screen. And like even having music on or like having a TV show on in the background, but like doing the Lego is like so nice. So I feel like, and I never really knew that I would be into adult Legos. Like I had no idea. Someone got Cody a set as like a joke. And then he was like cleaning out his office and he was like, do you want this? And I was like, I actually kind of do. And that now I love it. So try something like that, or even like a coloring book. I think this is such a common issue for so many people that now there's a lot of different fixes for it. And so I feel like resorting back to something that like we would have done back before we could have access to anything all the time, whether it's coloring or Legos or just like little toys, you know what I mean? Like even a book, maybe like trying to pick back up reading, that helped me a lot. And just like setting boundaries with yourself, with your phone. Like if a lot of times if I like realize that I'm not even like taking in anything I'm looking at, like I'm thinking about something completely different, but I'm looking at my phone, I will be like, okay, the phone's going away. I keep my charger in like another room. So if my phone's dying and I have to go plug it in, I just keep it in that room and like walk away, go sit on the couch even, and the phone's not near me. So that's a little tip, but it is not easy. I love scrolling. But it's not great. So those are some things that I do to help.
Cute. Last one, I have a question for you.
Yeah. Marsh.
I just wanted this to be fun, but what memory when you look back was the perfect weekend?
What memory when I look back was the perfect weekend? Oh, probably my wedding weekend. That's up there because every single person that I love was in one room in one area. But also like now I'm like a perfect weekend is like being at home, going like walking to like a farmer's market, maybe doing a little shopping, eating out somewhere, watching TV. Basically, like just relaxing is a perfect weekend to me now. So like one that sticks out is my wedding. But like then when I'm home and I just have a weekend at home, I feel like those are always really good ones. That's a good question. All right. I love hearing all of your voicemails. There are so many. And there's another one of these story times coming out during my maternity leave. So there'll be more of this because I wanted to find a way that I could like connect with you guys, just me and you, that I could shoot before that wasn't like a life update. And so I'm happy that they're my story times and that I can hear your voices and I can connect with you. But I'm also going to do a little journal time. As you know, we have our book of questions now, and so we get to pick a date. And so I'm going to have Marshall pick one, and then I'm going to pick one. Marsh, give me a date.
March.
Okay.
27th.
March 27th. How do you feel today? How do I feel today? I feel tired. I feel happy that I'm here recording. I feel a little bit uncomfortable. I'm starting to there's always little underlying uncomfortable happening within my belly region. But generally, I'm feeling pretty good. So that's how I feel today. How do you feel today, Marshall?
I feel energized.
Marshall feels energized today.
I was watching Selling the OC.
He was watching Selling the OC, and that got him amped up.
All last night, but I feel good.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Excited for Thanksgiving. Oh, well, they're not going to be listening to
this. That's true.
Soon, but.
Me too.
It's next week, so I'm excited to see family.
Good. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to pick one random date now. I'm going to choose May 15th. Whom do you have trouble getting along with? That is such a good question. And I have a few answers that I can't say. but I have trouble getting along with people who are mean. just generally speaking. I'm not gonna pinpoint anyone. I have trouble getting along with people who are not truthful and who are not kind. So I'm gonna give a more general answer there than specific people, because I don't know that the circlers are ready for all that. I don't know if I'm ready for all that. And we're bringing a child into this world. We can't be spewing out negative energy like that, you know? So that's my answer. People who are mean to waiters, I have trouble getting along with those kind of people. So yeah, there we have it. That's my answer. And there is the end of the episode, just like that. Another one down. And yeah, I love you all. I am missing you while I'm on my maternity leave, but I love you. And thank you for calling in. Thank you for all your voicemails, and thank you for trusting me with your stories and your situations. And hopefully my advice helped. And I'll see you all next time. Thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.